Hello. Welcome to Not My First Schmodio. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting to you live from UBC Vancouver campus on the unceded and stolen Musqueam territory. My name is Ruby Raven, and we are coming to you for this very special episode. Again, like last week, we were doing at Just for Laughs comedy festival content and coverage. This week we're doing the same. We have a lot of really interesting interviews. I've been lucky enough to partner with the Just for Laughs Vancouver Festival, which is happening from February 16th, which is today. Today's the kickoff to the 25th at theaters all over Vancouver. There's headliners like Sarah Silverman, Patton Oswalt, The Office Ladies, Sarah Sherman, Margaret Cho, and like 100 others. It's super, super cool. I was lucky enough to interview some of the amazing touring people. And I'm going to be playing an interview with Benito Skinner and Mary Beth Barone. I'm going to be playing an interview with Sasha Mark, Vancouver's very own, with Becky Robinson. And I'm really excited about going to their shows, especially after talking to them and listening to them talk about what their shows are about, who they are, and just like in general, how completely hilarious they are. In the studio with me today, I have Stella.
Hello.
Stella is my new editor on the Not My First Schmodio team. And if we have time, we may get into a schmoment from Stella.
Ooh, I'm very excited.
But that's only if we have time. We'll see. We started a little late today because there was a little bit of a mix-up in the studio, but that's okay. That's part of the schmoey nature of the world. So without further ado, I want to jump right into these interviews. I want to have time to do everything today. So let's listen to Benito Skinner and Mary Beth Barone. So hilarious. Benito Skinner is an American comedian, actor, and writer. He was featured in Variety's 2021 Comics to Watch and was also nominated for an MTV Movie and TV Award. Mary Beth Barone is a comedian, writer, and actor. She made her late-night television debut on The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon in February 2021. She was named one of Time Out New York's Women of the Year, as well as one of Vulture's Comedians You Should Know in 2020. Welcome, Benito and Mary Beth.
Hi, thank Ruby you. Raven. Your name is, it's major. Is it your real name?
That is my real name, yes.
That is made for a marquee, girl.
Thank you, I hope.
Yeah. Open for us, seriously.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Vogue Theater.
Well, one day, hopefully that will happen. That will be what will happen, hopefully. Anyways, welcome to the show. I am kind of obsessed with both of you. I love both of you so much, and I'm wondering why you guys love each other. Like, why do the show together?
Oh my god, our agents booked it. I'm gonna be earnest for the first question, so let's do this. Okay. I had performed a live show for like a year and a half between like 2019 to the very beginning of 2020 before everything happened. I don't know what happened in Canada, but there was a global pandemic. So I had to stop performing.
America, yeah.
Yeah. In America, it was crazy. And since then I haven't come back with a new solo show, but there's something about being on stage with Mary Beth that's like the ultimate piece, and it's so fun. And I think a lot of us post pandemic, it feels like first time on stage again, because we just like didn't do that many shows. Well, Mary Beth did. She did Edinburgh, so she actually has done a ton of shows. But I personally, like, I love getting to be up there for an hour with my girl. It feels like just so like calm and confident, and the shows are so wild, and the crowds are always just like absolutely deranged. So yeah, we've been very lucky. Time. We love whoever like comes. We appeal to a very specific crowd, and they really show up. So the combination, I think, is what makes the magic of the show that we're doing, and I'm excited to do.
And I'm kind of on the other side, where I did, like as Benny said, I did Edinburgh this year, so I was doing my hour every night for a month, and it gets lonely up there, you know, by yourself. And so I think I'm like tuckered out, and I think sharing the stage with Benny, it's like doing a trust fall for an hour. Like, we just have so much fun up there, and like I don't know, there's just like, it's, you know, the chemistry that people have come to know and love because of the podcast and our previous shows together. I feel like we just get to like do it live, and having an audience there is so much fun. It's that, like, I don't know. There's just like, it's the whole idea that the show will only happen once. So it's just for the people in the room, which I think, you know, with social media and everything, we don't have, I don't know. I place like more value in that nowadays. Cause it's like the people in the audience are going to get to see a show that no one else will ever see again. It's one time opportunity. And yeah, I just think like the crowds, as Benny said, are just so fun. They're just there to have fun. And I think that that's what this world needs, a little more fun.
Yeah,
definitely. I know sometimes people are like, I want to go, I want to think, I want to go watch a play. I want to think. I'm like, I want to be entertained. I want to feel good.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Not that's, to say that
don't come to this show if you want to go see a play.
If you want to think, leave it at the door. Okay.
Yeah. Don't come on. Just get, yeah. Call and get a refund for your ticket. If you're coming to think, it's not a thinker.
No, there's, I will say, as far as like shows we've done, this one has the most crowd interaction. So we're really excited to see what Canada's got for us. We really want people to show up a little drunk, a little nasty. Let's go. Like
9:30, 9 o'clock doors, 9:30 show. So
I follow instructions. Well, I kind of follow instructions, but I'll follow those instructions.
Okay,
I
good. Please.
So
Ruby's guys... throwing up in her seat.
But I'll stick around though. Like I,
yeah, you know, I'll rally.
I'll rally.
No, yep. It's like show up with a buzz. You know, don't be like, that's, yeah, I want you to still enjoy it.
Oh, I'm not going to be.
Sometimes we've had people show up and it's like, girl.
Full blackout mode. Not
your
blackout,
I feel like that. I feel like your show would attract that because it's like you guys have a fun energy. So, but I'll make sure I'll be monitoring the crowd.
Please,
for our eyes and ears. Your eyes and ears.
Thank you. Yes.
You guys obviously have reached like a lot of success at this point in your career. What was it like when you were first starting out? Like, how terrible/amazing was it?
It was fun in some ways, just like the level of delusion that you need to actually start a comedy career is actually so fun. It's like you're on drugs. And then I would say you start to sober up a few years in, and you're like, oh my God, what have I done? And then it's just a come down from there on out. So the best is behind us for sure. Yeah.
It was so funny. Ruby, you were listing off all the years and I was like, well, it's been a couple of years. It was like 2016's comics to watch. You know, like
1991's babies to watch.
Literally. Vanity Fair's this comic is someone we're looking at a little bit. 2020. Yeah, I think, you know, I've been like making videos and sketches for like almost 5 to 6 years now, I think, which is just like insane given like how long those things have been around. Like that's just like a really long time. But I'm still having fun. And I feel like Mary Beth, in a lot of ways, like getting to have someone that I'm so close with in the industry is my saving grace. And going to a show, or if I hop on a show and she's a part of it, I just immediately feel excited, and I feel like energized and just like have a little more steam. But yeah, I would just say like anyone wanting to do this, like, yeah, it's just a marathon and you have to like definitely take breaks and take time and make sure you're still like laughing and enjoying it. I think that's like the conception of this show that we're doing is very much like, what do we just want to do for an hour? And we want the crowd to feel that. And we performed a little something similar for the Netflix is a Joke Festival in LA. And we just left it feeling like so, I don't like revitalized in a way. Because if you just do the same set over and over again, or just, you know, doing the same characters on the internet, you just start to be like, oh my God, like I actually forgot what I'm doing. So it just takes like some reevaluation every, you know, now and then, and like taking breaks. And just giving
and doing something fresh and fun. Like, yeah. I think this show will be the first time we've tried it this way. So yeah, it's going to be a wild ride no matter what.
And we are painting our faces like Kiss. We're not really sure why per se, but it's just important to us for this show.
No, the question isn't why. The question is why not? Like, why not?
So we'll be, I guess you're the star child and then is it the demon? I don't know. So we need two others. So we're excited. We also have a lot of special guests ultimately in the show, which is exciting.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
People you could never expect. Expect the unexpected. We
expect the unexpected.
Oh my God. Michelle Obama.
Literally have to just.
I'm not saying anything.
And then like in that vein of being huge successes now and doing stuff for Netflix.
That's so funny to hear that, but thank you.
No, like my brain just completely doesn't hear it. Yeah. But okay. Yeah. Yeah, but thank you.
What is it like to be praised, to get recognition for this thing you've been working at for so long? Like I'm starting out my career right now. I'm so far from that. What does that feel like?
I think the internet is interesting because, you know, it comes and then it's just, there's so much now, like there's just so much content. So I feel like it's good to not maybe feel, let that feed in, like, you know, start to believe the hype too much. Cause I feel like it just, yeah, it'll happen and then it'll go away. So you just have to keep like making sure you're loving what you're doing. But I think like there truly is nothing better than, and Mary Beth and I both feel it, and we feel it at the same time when like the crowd is so good. And for like my whole life, I would go to concerts and like I would hear musicians be like, that crowd in particular was so good. And I would just be like, what does that mean? Like, why? But it is just like so different when the crowd is like open, ready to laugh, down for anything. Like, I can't describe like what that feels like and how validating it is, because we are just like putting ourselves out there so much. And comedy is something that people, no matter what, they'll be like, not funny. So you just have to like, you have to believe it so hard. There's always some like, you know, like straight white guy that tells you like that it's not funny. So you're just like, okay, great. Or they say women aren't funny, or a gay guy's like, you're doing the same bit. But so it just, I don't know, being able to be in one of those crowds where the crowd is so open and excited, like that is the best feeling in the world, because also you're sharing in that with them. Whereas the internet, it's like, you know, maybe they're saying like, haha, this is so funny, but they're not actually laughing. They're just kind of like smirking on the toilet. So yeah, a little different. I appreciate both though, certainly. But was that a good answer, Mary Beth? What do you think, doll?
I think so. Yeah. I feel like it's interesting. I mean, I think a lot of people who choose this line of work don't really let the praise like sink in, because maybe it's part defense mechanism, part like imposter syndrome, and part not wanting to like get too comfortable. But it's funny because I think, yeah, it is sort of, it's just like, wait, it comes in waves. There's times when I believe it and there's times when I don't. And then ultimately it's just like, you have to keep your head down and just keep doing the work, and hopefully people will respond to it. But I do agree. I think the real time, like, vibes at a show are just, there's nothing really like it. So that's what we're excited to live and breathe in Vancouver.
It's like the ultimate drug. I think it's why you see people, you know, it's always so funny when people are like, why is he still performing? And I'm like, no, I know exactly why. Addiction. Yeah, I'm like, no,
it's a sickness.
I know. Yeah.
And Benito, I'm obsessed with Chelsea Peretti. Like, I love,
oh my god, yeah, mama.
And you worked with her in her film, which I've been like intensely obsessively following.
Oh my god, okay.
First time as a director. What was it like working in with what I imagine is like a dream cast of like comedians who like are like comedians like for a film that she wrote and directed?
Well, I'm obsessed with her too, and with Amy Poehler. So I just remember I showed up for the table read and I was so nervous, like sick to my stomach. Because, and I had called Mary Beth before this, and we were doing the show for Netflix as a joke, like a week after we started shooting. So I was just like a little bit like imposter syndrome. And Chelsea is literally one of my favorite people on earth and was so insanely funny and iconic to work with. And also just an incredible director. It just like the entire experience was like one of the best of my life. And I tried not to crack in every scene with her, but it definitely was like so hard. But yeah, just like everyone apart, like Meg Stalter, Kate Berlant, like it really was, that was a damn dream. And I'm so excited for people to see it. I think hopefully it would premiere sometime this year. So yeah, but I think it's like, yeah, it just has like so much, I don't know, like it's like a little campy. It feels very like, I don't know, just what people need right now. It's just like a really beautiful little story, but also so funny. And Chelsea is just like, yeah, she's a lot of people's heroes. She's a lot of people's hero for a reason, because she is really just so talented. And so I probably can't say that F word on here, but she's, she's best. Truly. Yeah. I really hope you love it. I think you're going to.
I feel like there aren't a ton of comedy films that cater to sort of like my demographic. And
yeah.
I've been like on the edge of my seat, like waiting for this.
That makes me so happy. I'm truly waiting.
Yeah. There has not been a friends and family screening. So
yeah, and I've only seen like three scenes through. I was just doing like ADR. So I have no idea. Yeah, but from what I saw and being on set, I'm like, I do think there is something very special there. And yeah, and it's just like getting to be a part of Chelsea's world that she built is just like, yeah, very, I'll watch it and still not really like process it. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of what I do for everything.
Yeah. And I'm also wondering where you guys see yourself in the landscape of comedy. Like, I'm a woman, I'm a queer person, like me and mm-hmm. my friends have a certain like experience that we've been able to see reflected with millennials who have like mm-hmm. come out in the comedy world and have like made a real space for like talking about our experiences and with yeah. our community sort of sense of humor. So like with that in mind, where do the two of you see yourselves in the comedy landscape right now?
That's a great question.
Yeah, I definitely feel like there are more queer LGBTQ plus comedians than there ever have been, which is so exciting. And just mm-hmm. like Benny said, you know, I think there is this feeling still that like either women aren't funny or like gay people all do sort of like the same thing. And I think when you are part of those communities, you can pick up on the nuances. And part of having more queer voices means that like people who aren't in the LGBTQ community can also start to see those nuances. So I think it's just important, you know, if you are queer in this space to like keep at it and just work hard, and unfortunately probably work harder than some of your, you know, peers because of being in that demographic. But it's just important because the more exposure like the general crowds have to our voices, I don't know, it's just like it's more accessible. And I think that is part of the shift that we're seeing right now, you know, with people being able to reach new audiences on social media. Like there could be someone in middle America, or dare I say middle of Canada, who doesn't know an out gay person, would never be able to see them performing stand-up comedy or sketch comedy or character comedy, and now they can. So I just think, you know, with the world at our fingertips now, there's definitely some downsides to it and probably some mental health ramifications, but overall the impact is positive because I think people are able to build their own audiences, and you know, it's more than just that. It's like seeing a queer comedian on your Instagram might help somebody like come out to their friends and family because they feel, you know, that they're less alone. So I know that that impact may seem like crazy, but like that is the reality of it, and that's really exciting, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, even you just saying like you're friends and you see yourself reflected more, I feel like that to me is like the greatest thing. I'm not like taking the compliment, but it's just like the best thing I've ever heard, because I can't think of anything I really saw as a kid outside of like women that I identified with and like female comics that I was just like, I don't know, I've always felt like this like feminine energy protected me my whole life. So whether it was like growing up and watching like, you know, Molly Shannon or, you know, like anyone on SNL or Kristen Wiig, that I just felt like, oh my God, like those are my idols. Like I can't say that I really saw any like queer comedians that were like out and doing stand up or anything. So I feel like just in seeing it, and hopefully, you know, that just like only grows, like Mary Beth's saying, I think we're seeing so many more and so many different voices. And I'm watching maybe the industry also like slowly start to not think of us all as the same, and that these are all different stories, and that all of our stories, like in each individual way, would make someone feel like they were seen in these tiny things that happened. And I think there are a lot of things that link the queer community too. And us being able to share all the like diverse stories within the community, I think is really exciting. But yeah, as far as where we fit, I feel like I just want to keep making things and that feel like very true to me and who I am, and never in any way feel like I need to dull something down or, you know, like try to appease someone or make them feel more comfortable in their ignorance. Like, that's just not my job. I would much rather make someone feel like they could go put on like a lipstick or a wig and just like do whatever they want, because they should, as long as they're not hurting anyone. I always have to say that. I'm literally like, no, don't do like whatever.
No, add that to everything, every sentence we say. Just don't hurt someone. Just at the end. But don't hurt anyone.
That's don't like, hurt anyone.
That should be implied, but it's not. Blink so it. We'll say it.
But it's just, but I'm also seeing, yeah, it's like we navigate this industry. Like, we have a new podcast coming out next month, and we are just saying whatever we want on it. And like, the producers we're working with are like, great.
They're here. Sounds good. They're just like, yeah.
And I hope that, that happens for more people.
I kind of can't believe, like, I'm Gen Z, and I kind of can't believe, like, the content that I was consuming when I was growing up was like a lot of like elder millennial and then like younger millennial stuff. And
yeah. We're younger, just so you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No,
just so you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I kind of can't believe the shift that has happened like over the course of my adolescence for me to feel so comfortable just being like, oh yeah, I'm queer, like this is Mike's, like I feel, thank you so much, and just saying that on air and having it be so obvious that there could potentially be a space for me in the comedy landscape is because of people like you and because of like the work that you did when you had nobody else to look to and you had to be those first few people. So I just wanted to thank you for that, because it's kind of incredible how
I chose.
How
like truly Ruby Raven, like I'm moving to Canada. I really
we're freaking done with this Sam town.
We've threatened it for years. It's time, love.
It's time.
This makes me so happy. And we are waiting for you with open arms, love. So, just know that
much. Oh my god. Okay, well, last question. What can people expect from your show? Why should the queer people of Vancouver, or the everybody queer people, people of Vancouver come and see your show in February?
I think you should come to the Vogue Theater on February 18th. Is that right?
Let me take my notes.
That's
I'm pretty sure it is. I think you should come because it's just two freaking besties who are just going to have the time of their life, and you're going to have the time of your life too. And that's all we want. And we're just going to laugh. And I feel like what I love about the show, it's really relaxed and we're just playing. We're going to have like, you know, obviously we don't pick people out of the crowd who aren't volunteering, but when someone volunteers, like we have a lot of fun things that are going to be with the crowd and with our Canadians, we absolutely love and can't wait to meet. I just think it's going to be like such a fun hour, and it's going to feel like a night out with your friends. And I hope that, yeah, everyone comes. I think it's going to be so special. I'm very, very excited.
Yeah. I think, you know, like I said, expect the unexpected. So
yeah, that's kind of,
and we can't really say more. So
no, that's, find out. That's Ruby Raven signing out, love.
Yeah.
All right. Amazing. Thank you so much for giving me so much of your time. Oh my gosh. Okay. We're back. It's live. It's Ruby. It's Stella. We're here. Aren't they just so fantastic? Like, you can't, when I was interviewing them, I really felt like we connected, and I felt like they were so gracious. They gave me so much of their time. They were so lovely. And I was really nervous for that interview because I really look up to those people, and they were so, so, so lovely. That alone makes me want to go to their show. But on top of that, they were actually so funny. So, so, so funny. So their show is this Saturday, February 18th at the Vogue Theater. Benito Skinner and Mary Beth Barone. You can go see them. You can get tickets at jflvancouver.com. You can get tickets at admit1.com. Please go see their show. They're so amazing. And it is going to be really fun. Like, there was such an energy to them. And the way the two best friends, like, have that kind of chemistry is so fun to watch. I can't wait to see it. He gave me a couple extra tickets to bring my friends, and we are going to bring the ruckus. So if you see me there, Ruby Raven, say hi to me. Well, you don't know what I look like, but But if you see me there, you can say hi. All right. So I'm going to move on to the next interview. This is Sasha Mark. I love Sasha. He is he's a local comedian here, and they've been a teacher, or they teach at the school that I take a lot of comedy classes at. So lovely. So I'm going to let Sasha take it away.
Sasha Mark is a Vancouver stand-up. You can see him as a part of the Just for Laughs Vancouver Comedy Festival on February 22nd at the China Cloud, or on February 23rd for Camp Comedy, a monthly comedy and drag cabaret show that features the best emerging and professional performers in Vancouver at the Projection Room at the Fox Cabaret. Welcome, Sasha!
Oh, Ruby, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. So we have met before. We know each other because I take a lot of comedy classes at the comedy school that you work at, Blind Tiger Academy, if I may. And I'm wondering, what is it like working in Vancouver as a comedian?
Oh, that's a really great question. So I've only had experiences living in two other cities. So Winnipeg and Vancouver. So I think Vancouver is a great city in terms of there's a great talent of arts and a caliber of arts in this city. I would say when we look at the Junos, you know, the comedians that won Best Comedy Album of the Year, only one of them's from Toronto. Everyone else was a Vancouver comedian. So I think that, you know, there's a higher caliber, higher ceiling of stand-up. And that's why I moved here, is because I was a big fan of all the comedians that lived out here. Yeah, I'm a big fan of good comedians out in Toronto too, but yeah, I think there's so much talent in the city. There's so many fun shows. And I think there's a really cool space for a lot of alternative, silly comedy in the city as well.
Yeah, I think because the history of comedy in the city is not as old as Toronto, there aren't, you know, really any established scenes. So it can create a lot of alternative comedy and a lot of weirdness.
Oh, and I definitely love that. And I definitely think that's what a city needs. I think we need to take comedy back away from corporations a little bit. I want the corporation money, but I don't want the... I don't know what I want.
And would you say that being a comedian here, like your comedy has become weirder or has become more alternative?
Oh, I think that's a great question as well. I think I've really stuck to the course of who Sasha was when I was in Winnipeg to, you know, when I moved out here. I think big changes were, yeah, definitely reference stuff. But I also think that comedy in Winnipeg, we were such a weird city as well. We are a very like young comedy city that was always very evolving as well. That wasn't truly like stuck and established. So there wasn't, you know, a plethora of big comedy clubs. It was all like individually produced there as well. So shows in Winnipeg were weird. And I think that's what also drew me to coming to Vancouver, because Vancouver's art scene is weird. And I think that's where really fun, explosive, cool art comes from. So
why do you think that, like, because you think the art scene in general is weird, right? Is that what you're saying?
I would say it can be.
Why
sure.
do you think that is? Like, why do you think Vancouver has such a weird art scene?
I think that Vancouver has such a weird art scene. I don't know. I think we're just kind of like a cultural hub for arts in a way that is unique than to Toronto. I don't want to keep comparing ourselves to Toronto. But I also think that, Vancouver draws in a lot of, like, provincially, you know, Vancouver and BC is very NDP-esque-ish, yeah. Sort of, not with this new mayor. But, you know, so I think there's, like, more support for artists here. There's more funding for artists here. And... there's more opportunities for weird art space. And I think also we've kind of been in this space within comedy where we just haven't had clubs within the last couple years because we lost the Comedy Mix, we lost Yuck Yucks. So it's been kind of, comedy's been almost 100% produced independently by artists through this whole pandemic. So I think that has also helped bring out the weirdness. Also thought back in the day, LMG was so weird. And I think that was a big hub and heart of where a lot of people started comedy in the city was the LMG space back in the day.
Before it was destroyed a year ago.
Stomped into the ground.
How would you describe your comedy? And if that is too hard to answer, what comedy do you like?
I always say it's always easier to describe someone else's comedy than your own. So I always like, I'm very happy for someone else to describe it, but I'll describe it. I would say I'm a mix of very silly. I'm very, there's a lot of political commentary as well. I love to make people feel uncomfortable, but I also like to make people laugh. And I really love to talk about my identity. I think something that really inspires me is that when I think of back in Winnipeg, when it came to gay male comedians in that city, I was one and the only one. And then I moved out to Vancouver. I think there was, you know, six times more. So there were six. but you know, it was really great. So I think it's because I've always been in the market of like a small pool of people that I like, a small percentage of representation in the comedy scene. I think, you know, talking about my experiences are my own stories, but are also something that I feel like sometimes needs to be told or hasn't been really talked about. And it's a really fun way to explore through comedy. I don't even remember your original question.
No. That's great. It's interesting yeah. that you set up too, because I was, do you know Benito Skinner? He's part of the festival.
Yeah.
So I was speaking to him, and you know, he was talking about similar things coming up as like a gay kid in comedy, and I'm queer, and I was kind of like, things have changed so much because I don't even have to consider, oh my God, like, how am I supposed to, is there a space for me? Is like all yeah. of those questions because of, you know, comedians that are 10 years older than me and much older too, but specifically in the past 10 years where things have shifted so much because people like you have been talking about your identity and being the only gay comedian like in the city. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think I'm always excited when new queer comedians and new Indigenous stand-up comedians like enter comedy spaces as well. Something that I always like to do to make people feel uncomfortable is like, I ask this question sometimes to my students, and I'm like, all right, who's your favorite? I want you to think about your favorite Netflix comedian right now, okay? I want you to think about them. And then I'll like ask this question right away. It's like, who is your favorite Netflix comedian who's Indigenous right now? And the answer is nobody.
Yeah.
Usually. So, because, you know, there isn't a lot of representation in that field, you know? So, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
But also, I think we're canceling Netflix these days. Sorry, I know you're a ITR, and this is like not a... We don't slander, but I think everyone's jumping off the Netflix wagon at the moment.
I feel like the people will be jumping back on, you know, like the culture moves quickly. So you don't want to, you know, like maybe keep a good relationship with them at this point.
Yeah.
You know, because they'll remember, they'll be like, when we were down, Sasha was there for us. so how do you feel about your place in the landscape of comedy?
I think I'm still in a position of like learning and growing a lot. I'm really thankful to like even teach comedy because I don't know everything as well. So I don't think you need to know everything to teach. Mm-hmm. Things like we've had teachers, you know, they didn't know anything. But I think experience and research has helped a lot in that field. But how I feel in the comedy field, I think that you know, I think this is more exciting. I think there's a lot of Indigenous comedians that are being involved in this year's Just for Laughs event. I'm really excited for Dakota and Chad Adderson to be coming out to do the new wave of stand-up this year. And we tried to get really involved with a bunch of Indigenous comedians locally and try to get them booked on as many shows as we can this year. Mm-hmm. So I think that's been really exciting for me, is helping the community grow as well. And I don't know, I don't see myself as like, I don't see myself as a comedian in the community, I guess, is like the position I look at myself at. I don't look at myself. And then, is that bad?
So wait, you see yourself as a comedian of the community, or you don't?
I do. Yeah. That's, I don't know. I don't know if there's like a ranking system that I see in my brain. I'm like, oh, I'm Sasha. I'm the leader of the comedy of the Vancouver scene. You know, I'm just a friendly face that says hi.
And is here to support other comedians and other Indigenous comedians.
100%. I really 100%.
Well, that's amazing. What can people expect from your show on February 22nd?
At the Ooh, yeah, it's going to be a fun, really silly show. I have some comedians on that lineup that's not going to be seen anywhere else in the whole dang festival. So I have my dear pals from Winnipeg. But now they live in Toronto. I have half of a group called Hunks. They're a sketch group. But I invited Tim Gray and Dana Smith to come out and perform. They're going to be doing some comedy over there. And then my friend Angie St. Mars from Winnipeg as well. We have the lineup is so stacked. Like there's people that I've looked to and like admired before I was even a comedian. So we have Julie Kim, who's going to be on that night, Ross Douk, Katie Ellen Humphreys. We also have Brenda Prince and Katie Louise Carrière. So it's going to be a really fun show. I always say that my show is kind of like, I always like to pitch it as like a barbecue. Like it's just very chill. It's very nice. And there's a lot of hanging out beforehand and there's a lot of hanging out after. And I want to have like a chill, friendly environment where people feel like they can belong and hang there.
That's lovely. Also, it's February and like you don't get to have barbecues right now. So this is sort of like anyone who's missing going to barbecues, you should really go to Sasha's show on February 22nd at the China Cloud.
Yes, I totally agree. And you don't know, there's usually special guests that come to these shows. So you don't know who's going to drop by.
Oh my God. Anything could happen.
You don't know.
Anything could happen.
Rihanna.
Thank you so much, Sasha, for coming on Not My First Shmodio. And I'm so excited for your show on the 22nd. And everyone can buy tickets at jfl.com or at Admit One. Remember, February 22nd at the China Cloud. Sasha, you actually also have a second show on February 23rd called Camp Comedy, which is in the projection room at the Fox Cabaret.
Yes, and I definitely recommend getting those tickets sooner or later, where both our shows are selling out. So this happens all the time. You know, the day of the show, people arrive or they DM us being like, your shows are sold out. Can we get tickets? And I always have to be like, no, I'm sorry, there's like none left. So I always recommend getting them as soon as you know.
Okay, as soon as possible, as soon as this airs, as soon as you hear this, people who are listening to CITR right now, go buy your tickets for the Sasha Haha show.
Thanks so much for having me, Ruby.
Yes, thank you so much for being on. Thank you so much for giving me so much time, Sasha. I'll see you on the 22nd.
Okay, see you in the 22nd. Bye.
Wow, we are back live in the studio, Not My First Shmodio. So that was Sasha Mark, such a sweetheart, like so funny, so kind, made me feel so comfortable, like every single time I talk to them. Okay, so that you can go see the Sasha Haha show on Wednesday, February 22nd at the China Cloud Theater. It's going to be really funny. Or you can see Camp Comedy on Thursday, February 23rd at the Projection Room at the Fox Cabaret. Get your tickets at jflvancouver.com or admit1.com. And come on, everyone. Literally, when do we have big festivals like this in Vancouver?
True.
Right? Not very often. Mm-hmm. Not very often. So let's go cease and laugh and be entertained. Okay, so we have 4 minutes left in this episode. Mm-hmm. We heard some amazing interviews from Benito, from Mary Beth Barone, from Sasha. But now is the part of the show, the integral part of the show, the Schmoment. So Stella, who is a new member of the Not My First Schmodio team, because yes. We have a team now.
Oh, yeah.
I want to know, to, you know, initiate you into a member of the team, you must share a Schmoment.
I have so many. I feel like over the years they've accumulated, but there's always one that when I'm asked a question like that, it sticks out. Yeah, in my brain. Totally. It's just the first one that comes to mind. So I'll give just a tiny bit of context. I was in the fifth grade, so hadn't fully grown yet, hadn't fully developed yet. I'm a short girl. I'm a short little girl. What can I say? And this all takes place in the Toronto suburb of Scarborough back in, I don't know, grade five was, like 2013, 2014? I don't know. So in at the time were these Great Wolf Lodge like wolf hats.
Oh my God, Great Wolf Lodge.
Yep, Great Wolf Lodge. And it's like the ones that have like the hat connected to them is like mittens that are like, that go down to like maybe like your waist, mm-hmm. and you can like stick your hands in them.
I'm familiar.
So yes, this is summertime, and me and my best friend decide to meet up with our two crushes at our elementary school, which is just down the street from my house. And we wanted to go to the playground to meet up with them, but the playground was blocked off by this like wired fence. So the two boys are like waiting for us at the playground, and they wanted to go on the slide or whatever. So the two of them hop over the fence, and my best friend, still one of my best friends, is a little bit taller than I am, so she is also able to jump over the fence. I was not, but the first time that we went over the fence, I was very not so graciously able to hobble over it. So we did our thing. We were just kind of like very awkwardly hanging out with these two boys as fifth graders do. It's hot out, whatever. We're playing on the park, and then whatever happens, it's time to go. So to get back over the fence, they hopped over very easily. And this time around, I was not so lucky getting over the fence. So I kind of pulled myself up on top of it. And as I'm leaping over the fence, my pant loop gets stuck on the fence, and my pants and my underwear get stuck on it and rips off of my body. So I'm dangling on the fence by my pants and I can't get up, and obviously I try to like wiggle around.
Are you upside down?
No, I'm like kind of like hanging over myself, so I'm like kind of like hunched over, and I guess because gravity is a thing, the pants ripped. So my pants and my underwear are just hanging onto the fence, and I am obviously not in my underwear or my pants anymore. So I'm like,
you fell out of your pants and your underwear?
It ripped off of me. Like it ripped off.
Your
like,
underwear too?
Yeah. I don't know how that happened, but both were on the fence and not on me anymore. So bless the lords that I was wearing this Great Wolf Lodge hat, because I used one mitten to cover the front and then one mitten to cover the back.
Oh my God.
And these two boys are just staring at me, and my best friend at the time is just looking at me like horrified that my whole little tush is out.
Oh.
And yeah, it was pretty bad. And then luckily, as I mentioned, my house was just down the street from said elementary school. So I wobbled back to my house with like covering myself with my mitten, with my furry mittens. And yeah, I just walked home without any pants and without any underwear and was covering everything with these little fluffy mittens. And my friend was laughing at me the entire time. She's still one of my best friends, love her to death, but yeah, my underwear and my pants got stuck on a little wire, like, poking out of the fence. So let's just say me and metal fences are not friends, mm-mm. to this day. And as being a 5-foot-tall woman, I will not be climbing over fences anymore, because I learned my lesson when I was 12. So that is my schmoment that comes to mind.
That is a perfect schmoment. The fact also that you were, like, you probably like wore your favorite pants, mm-hmm. to like go see these boys that, yep. you had a crush on, and,
yep.
you were like, I look so good, my Great Wolf Lodge hat. Yeah. Like, you're probably feeling yourself.
Yep.
Are you sad that the jeans themselves got ripped?
Honestly, I think I was more, I think afterwards I realized, oh, these pants are now gone and not on my body. But in the moment, I was more horrified that they could see my butt and literally everything. So now when I think about it, those were really cute old Navy denim shorts that I'll never get back. But yeah, I in the moment was a little horrified.
Wow. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being so vulnerable.
Absolutely.
And for sharing truly almost a cinematic schmoment.
Oh, I think it was. Yeah.
That feels like it encapsulates a really important part of coming of age.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you for giving me the platform to share. I feel like I'm glad I've been initiated now. So
absolutely. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of Not My First Schmodio. Go see Benito Skinner and Mary Beth Barone on February 18th at the Vogue Theater, and go see Sasha Mark on Wednesday, February 22nd at the China Cloud Theater. Super hilarious, super fun. Check out the lineup for Just for Laughs Festival. A lot. There are some tickets still left, but they're going really quickly. And thanks for listening. And everyone have a wonderful afternoon. If you're listening to this while you're driving home, I hope that you eat something really delicious today. Like, I'm thinking like some salmon, maybe. Ooh. Like maybe like an everything bagel, tiramisu.
Oof.
Something along those lines. Some tzatziki, a curry.
So good.
So good. All right. Have a wonderful evening, everyone. And goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.